so good to be with you here this morning. I bring you greetings from San Pablo Apostol, which is our Latino congregation in Seaside, where I was last evening. It was a clear night and a rainy morning. But it was great to drop down into Los Gatos this morning and see a rainbow, which Father Ricardo swears that he put there for my sake. I really appreciate having this chance to be with you and to talk about things that are important to us. And so this morning I want to offer just some things that have been on my heart and also couch them in a reading of our gospel. So this morning's gospel, that famous one, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, unto God what is God's, we often have different ways of looking at that. And of course, it's one of the favorite ones to use during stewardship season when we're doing our pledge drive, so that we can get everybody and say, hey, it's all, you know, it's all God's anyway. But I want to take us back into that story just a little bit. When I read that gospel reading, I'm amazed at how much effort must have gone into coming up with the question to trap Jesus. I mean, I can just imagine these guys sitting around trying to figure out, wordsmithing it till they get it just right so they can come up, butter him up, which they do. You can always tell what's going to happen, right? And then ask the question, right? And of course, the question is a trap. There is no win. There is no win. It's a lose-lose proposition. Because Jesus says, well, you know, the thing about it is he knows. Jesus knows. It's like he takes a pause and he says, if I say that, yes, you should pay the tax to Caesar, then I'm in trouble with the Jewish authorities. And if I say that you shouldn't, then I'm in trouble with the Roman authorities. And so he says, show me the coin, right? Whose head is on the coin? And then, of course, we end up, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's. And, of course, then the scripture tells us that they went away and they were amazed. Now, I looked up that word. And I read a couple different versions of that. And some say amazed, some say astonished, some say surprised. Some say inspired. In Spanish, when I read it, they said they admired him. But there's another interpretation, which is probably more likely, which was they're a little disturbed. I'm thinking that's probably right. The plan didn't work very well. Right? And so it's like they scratch their heads, they go away, and they think, well, what's the next question we can go with? But what Jesus does here is you can see him doing this. He takes a step back, and he takes the long view. He takes a step back, and he takes the long view. And then he does what Jesus keeps doing, which is when it's one side or the other, he guides into a third way. He guides into another way, which is where we find the foundations of the kingdom of God. And when he does this, he throws all of us out of whack. Because in our humanity, we tend to look for sides or positions. And heaven knows in this world, this is what we're doing. Right? We've been doing it for a while. And when I look at, you know, what is happening in Gaza and that entire situation there, which is heart-wrenching, I'm struck by the fact that the Archbishop of Jerusalem, the Episcopal Diocese of Jerusalem and the Middle East, which encompasses five countries, by the way, that my friend Archbishop Haum Nassam says, we take the way of the Prince of Peace. That is where we are to be. As Christians, we can be nowhere else. We must be with the Prince of Peace, who is all about feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, giving water to those who are thirsty, taking care of those who are suffering. There's no other place for us to be. And I have to think that we, as Christian people, as followers of Jesus and followers of the way of love, need to take a bigger look, a longer view at our legacy in this world. Maybe it's just that I'm getting older. I look in the mirror and I see my grandmother. Right? You know when that happens. And I think of my children, and I think of my grandchildren, and I realize how important it is to take the longer view and to consider what our legacy is for this world. What do we want it to be? Our world is layered with violence. Our world is layered with the effects of greed, which always lead to violence. If you're a student of history, you see it. And yet, in that story, there are always people who are leaving a legacy for a better world. And that's who we need to be. We need to be those people. We need to step back and take the longer view. You know, people ask me, you know, every time I visit a congregation, we renew the baptismal covenant. And we're going to do this again today, because we do this. And people say, well, don't you get tired of doing that Sunday after Sunday? Well, I did it last night, too, in San Pablo. No, I don't get tired of it, because I need that reminder that I am to spread the good news, that I am to care for my neighbor, that I'm to work for justice and peace, that I'm to respect the dignity of every human being. This is how we leave our legacy. This is how we leave our legacy. So when we get mired up and engulfed in small things, when we get caught in places where by word or action we may inflict violence, when we let petty arguments or disagreements take over what we are to be, who we are to be, we need to step back and take the long view. I'm going to leave you with one of my favorite things, which is a reflection that is attributed to Oscar Romero, who was the Archbishop in El Salvador and was martyred in 1980. I'm going to leave you with a reflection attributed to him that was not written by him, but I can imagine he thought this. This is what we are about. We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything. And there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders, ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future not our own. So be it. Amen.
Amen.